just the sense of in worship this morning, and you know, even Rod with your communion, just the sense in the room that there's people in here, I think a lot of people in here that are going through some really challenging things at the moment. And so this morning I want to speak on joy in the trial. And it, you know, just so happens that Michael, all of your worship was just kind of, or felt really central around us having hope in our Father. And Rod, your communion tied into that as well. I was in Macedon yesterday morning, and I caught up with someone for coffee. And after coffee, I decided to go just for a walk. so I was walking around the sanatorium lake yesterday. And it was quite a wet morning yesterday. If anyone was up, you know, before 11, before the sunshine kind of came out, it was quite wet. And especially in Macedon and on that walk, I found it very muddy, very slippery. And when I woke up this morning to go and have coffee, I wasn't planning to go on a walk around the lake. And so I was wearing these shoes. Now, these are my 5-year-old Converse sneakers that are very worn out, and they have no grip on them. I mean, you can see, like, they're just, there's nothing on there. And anyway, as I was kind of walking, and I was reflecting on what I was going to be sharing this morning, and you know, this metaphor kind of came to me, and Mike, you touched on the evening service when you shared that, you know, obviously sometimes metaphors can have faults, or you can have things where you can say where a metaphor wouldn't apply to a situation, where, you know, you might say, you know, this metaphor can apply to a situation, but there's also something that you can say it wouldn't apply. And so as I was walking, you know, it was very slippery, very muddy, and I was trying my best not to slip over, basically. Like, you know, it felt, there were times where I was kind of sludging through a pit. I mean, you can just look at these shoes and you can see all the dried mud on them. But I got through the walk, and I actually didn't fall over once. I didn't slip over once. And, you know, I was kind of just reflecting on that. And it just occurred to me that I didn't fall over because I could see the path ahead. I could see where I was walking, and I was watching my every step. Very carefully, I was literally watching my every step, watching where I was putting my feet so that I wouldn't slip over and end up in the mud. However, the walk isn't determined by the shoes that I'm wearing. Because I could have been wearing hiking boots or walking boots with the best grip in the world, but it wouldn't have made a difference if I couldn't see the path ahead. If I was wearing a blindfold, let's say, me wearing hiking boots isn't going to change the fact whether I slip over or not. Because if I'm wearing a blindfold and I'm walking through a muddy, wet pit, I'm probably going to fall over. And I was just reflecting on that, and I feel like that's sometimes what our life with God can be like, or what our walk with God can be like. You know, there's times in life where we might go through slippery trials, where we might be walking through mud. But if we can trust and depend on God, that He can see the path ahead, and that He knows our steps, we will be able to find comfort in our trials. If we can't trust God in our trials, we're going to find that we are slipping and falling over. And then you can feel free to go and pull things from that and say, well, actually, that metaphor doesn't apply, but I'm not going to get into that. Every year we go to SYG. If anyone doesn't know what SYG, it's basically an opportunity right in the middle of June where the youth in Victoria can all gather in Warragul and play sports together. And it's often really very muddy and wet, but that doesn't actually apply to what I'm about to say. Anyway, we went off to SYG this year, and my biggest takeaway from SYG this year wasn't a moment in worship. And it wasn't even anything that the pastor said over the 2 or 3 nights that he was speaking. It was actually something that one of the youth kids said. One of the kids on the Sunday morning, she broke her arm when we were playing dodgeball, and me and Grace took her off to the doctor, and I think we were there for about an hour just for them to say, you know, okay, now we're going to, now you have to go to the hospital. So then here we are. I mean, here I was thinking, we'll be at the doctor for an hour. They'll just say it's not broken or whatever, and we'll be, right as rain. But it wasn't the case. We waited there for an hour. She went in and they said we had to go to the hospital. So then we went up to the hospital and we were there for, the better part of pretty much the whole day. So we were at the hospital the whole day, pretty much spent the whole time just waiting for our youth kid to be seen. And she finally went in, they put a cast around her arm. And she was in a lot of pain. You could just tell. She didn't cry. Credit to her, I think I would have cried, but she didn't cry at all. And it was 6 o'clock. I mean, I think we got to the hospital maybe 9 or 10 a.m. and we left at 6 p.m. So we were there for a long time. And on the way home, she was sitting in the back seat, and I was just thinking, and I was like, I'm very impressed. You haven't complained once. Because she hadn't. I hadn't heard her complain all day. And she said, I have nothing to complain about. And that just blew me away. I mean, for a 13-year-old girl to spend her whole day in the hospital with a broken arm, in terrible pain, when she should have been out playing sport and having fun with her friends, to turn around and say that she's got nothing to complain about. That inspired me and that challenged me to think about how I look at my trials, how I look at the things that I go through, how I look at the situations that I find myself in. Are there ever times where I can say, I've got nothing to complain about? In our young adults Bible study, we've actually just finished up studying James. And the biggest thing that I took away from that whole book is James chapter 1, verse 2 to 8. And a lot of you will know that verse, but I will read it out anyway. This is from NIV. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. And there's just a few things, if I go verse by verse here, just some things that I really want to pull out that really, I've really been reflecting on this week. The first thing, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. So we're called to take joy in the struggles. Brothers and sisters, we're all supposed to take joy when we face trials of many kinds. Not just trials of some kinds, many kinds. Many different kinds of trials. Consider it pure joy. Because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So a thought that we can come away from trials lacking nothing and being complete. That in the trials, when we can come to God, we can actually come out of these trials feeling complete. That we can ask God for wisdom in these trials, and that He gives generously to all without finding fault. That He gives generously wisdom when we ask for it. But that we need to trust wholeheartedly and believe He will give us the wisdom we ask for. Otherwise, we shouldn't expect anything when we ask. I think James 4 touches on this. James 4, 8. Come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We are helpless. We need God. We do. We know that we need God. So shouldn't we be living like we need him? Shouldn't we be living like we can't go through trials and life without him? Shouldn't we put all of our trust in him? So much so that we can take joy in our trials and suffering, because from it, God makes us complete. I don't think I can recall a time in my life, really, maybe except for the past week, where I actually have taken joy in my trial. You know, I mean, I'm only 20 years old, and maybe I don't have a lot of experience on this earth, but I haven't found a time, to be honest with you, where I have found myself in a struggle and actually taken genuine and had genuine joy in that. And I also don't think, I mean, I know that for a fact that this is something that I struggle with, and I wonder how many other people in here struggle with, the idea of when we come to God and ask for wisdom, or maybe just when we ask for things in general from God, especially when we're struggling, how often do we find ourselves actually really believing what we're asking God for and believing that he is going to deliver what we're asking for? That how often do we find that we are actually really trusting that he is going to give us the wisdom that we're asking for? The end of James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. There's things in life that we go through where we just have to give it over to God. Things that just seem so insurmountable, so big, so daunting. Those times we need to humble ourselves and know that this is a job for God. This is a time where we need to put our trust in God, and let's humble ourselves before God. Because it's not in our strength and it's not in our ability for us to be able to go through a lot of the trials we face and come out the other side just by using our own strength and abilities. You know, I'm a victim of this, where, you know, I might be crying out to God and, you know, I'm finding myself struggling with whatever it is, or I'm facing a situation and, you know, oh God, would you save me from this? Would you help me? Would you deliver me from this? But I'm still relying on my own devices. You know, oh God, I'm crying out to you right now. Would you help me? But I don't actually believe that you're going to give me wisdom to help me get through this. Or I don't actually believe that you're, you know, I still should have to plan to get through it myself. It's a terrible mindset to have, to be honest. I wasn't planning on speaking for very long this morning because I do want to come together for prayer at the end. But 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 8. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. God is our comforter. He's many things. The Bible tells that God is many things for us, and we all would have different different ways or things that God means to us personally. But God is our comforter, and he comforts us in our trials. And in return, that scripture says, we comfort others with the same comfort that comes from God. That's pretty special. That is pretty special, that comfort, that supernatural comfort that comes from God, that supernatural comfort that we go to the comforter for, we can then go and give out to other people. That we can come to God for supernatural comfort and then go out to our family and friends, the community around us, and give out that supernatural comfort as an overflow. We've got a supernatural comfort sitting inside of us that we ask for God, and we can still retain that and still give it out. The more we suffer in Christ, the more His comfort is poured upon us. We are called to share with each other the joys in our life, but also the sufferings in life. You know that scripture, when one part of the body is hurting, the whole body's hurting. As we recently finished James in our Bible study, something stuck out at the end of the book also in James chapter 5, 13 to 18, and I do want to read that out now as well. Where am I? Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. I'd love to close out this time in prayer. Just with, you know, that feeling in the spirit that there are people in here that are struggling with things, and that, you know, as a church, we do want to come alongside each other. As a family, we do want to come alongside each other and pray into each other's lives to celebrate joys, but also to be able to give comfort to one another. That we would be able to find comfort and wisdom from God to go through the trials we are facing. If the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, how much more powerful is a group of righteous people? I'd love it if maybe we broke off just into groups of the people that you might be sitting around. Doesn't have to be big groups. And just be open with each other about the trials that you might be facing. Be bold and be brave and be courageous about the trials that you're facing. And share with one another and pray for one another and pray with each other. Pray that God would give them the wisdom to get through the trial they're facing. That God would give them the comfort to get through the trial that they're facing. That God would give us the comfort to comfort them in the trial they're facing, and vice versa, obviously. So it might look a little bit messy, but I would love to do that this morning. So if you do want to try and get into groups of people around you and pray for each other, I would really love that this morning. So feel free to do that now, and I will get some music just playing over the speaker.